What if Alexander the Great had a podcast? That's the thought that came to me when I was trying to think of how I wanted to explain, you know, the whole idea behind this new media and how often the implications of what not only we do, but what we're capable of doing, strike me. I'll often get people who call me up and say that they're thinking about getting involved in this new media type gig. Maybe they want to do a podcast or a website or a blog, and they want some advice. And I always try to tell them to remember something that we bear in mind here all the time, actually, is that whatever you're doing here is cast in a form of digital stone, if you will. And there are real odds that this is never going away. I mean, no matter how long I live, odds are some of this stuff we're putting together these days will outlive me. Now, that's a double-edged sword. Maybe the good part is that, you know, our descendants will be able to see the individual lives and the likes and the dislikes and, you know, who we are from such a wide cross-section of society that they will understand our times better than we've ever been able to understand, you know, the times of our ancestors. I always wish I could just have a photograph from some of these great historical figures from ages past. As I said, what if Alexander the Great had a podcast? Think of how well, you know, we would know him compared to how well you're able to get to know a historical figure like that based on the biased and varied writings and translations that have come down to us. Now imagine being able to have podcasts from hundreds or thousands of regular folks from Alexander the Great's time. Think about how that creates a three-dimensional vision of the past that's simply unimaginable for ancient historians to look at. Well, our descendants are going to be able to have a very three-dimensional view of ours. That's one of the great aspects of this, and also one of the great responsibilities. When I was in radio, if you had a bad show, you know, you get off the air, maybe throw something against the wall, get in your car and head home and think, God, that was a terrible show. I'll do better tomorrow. I don't want to do this and that and the other thing, and I want to do more of this other stuff. But the good news was it was done and over with. Either somebody heard how much of a fool you made of yourself, or they didn't, and, you know, it went out into the ether and it was gone. Well, those days are over. If you have a bad podcast, not only does everybody who subscribed to that show now get to hear it, someday, for all you know, historians and people who aren't even born yet will hear it as well. So there's a lot of responsibility in putting out good content. Now, when you think about, though, what it means in terms of, you know, being able to better understand our society today, I keep trying to think of how it empowers, you know, regular people to get their stories out there to our descendants. They used to say that if you were studying the past, you were really studying, you know, 0.00005% of the people who ever lived. You know, the people that were worth writing about, the stuff that survived, you know, fires and flames and war and, you know, decrepit age to make it into our history books. Well, this podcasting and the blogs and the websites, a lot of this is regular folks making their, you know, carvings into digital stone for our descendants to find. That is going to give a multi-layered view of what life is like now that's never been possible before. Now, here's the thing, though. You have to understand what makes this possible, and it's one of the very cool aspects of this whole new media idea. If you look at the history of media, there have almost always been people you could think of as middlemen or gatekeepers, the people that actually controlled access to the distribution channel. I mean, if you lived in ancient Greece and your name was Aeschylus or Sophocles or Euripides and you had a play you wanted to show an audience, some guy owned that theater and that stage that you hoped to, you know, put your play on. If they decided they didn't like your play, no audience ever got to decide if they liked your play or not. It was scotched from the get-go. And not just that, maybe they like your play and they put it on, but maybe they don't like your next play. Or maybe they like most of your artistic creation, but they don't like this, that, or the other thing, and either you change it, or you don't get to show your play on their stage. Well, take media from other ages. The guy who owns the radio transmitter, the newspaper or magazine editor, the TV station owner. I remember when I was a kid, about 8 or 9 years old, I got this great idea. I thought I was going to start a magazine. And I remember it was summer vacation, and I spent a week or two going out there and taking photographs from my magazine and writing text together, and I was working on layouts and stuff. And eventually some poor adult had to sit down and squash my dreams by explaining to me exactly all of the impediments and roadblocks that I faced in doing anything like this. They sat down and said, well, do you have any idea how much it's going to cost to print all this? And what are you going to do for distribution? And eventually, you know, they made me realize that having a magazine sometime in the mid-1970s was a pipe dream for a kid. My kid comes to me today, though, and says, Daddy, I'd like to start a magazine. I'm going to sit down and say, all right, well, what do you think it's going to look like? And how do you want it to be? And what do you want to include in it? Because this new media technological stuff that we have out there has made something that was an impossibility when I was a kid, not just possible, but doable and easily doable. Think about what that does to empower regular people with no gatekeepers and no middlemen who simply want to show something to a general audience. And think about the general audience, too. If you were a TV writer in the 1970s and you wrote something that you liked and you thought was creative and witty and good and somehow managed to get it produced by a television station and it was shown on television and you had 10 million people who liked it, you were an utter failure and your show was going to be canceled. Now, in the era of disseminated media with fragmented audiences, if 10 million people like your stuff, you are an out-of-control hit. So, if you're a creative person, this is the best time ever to live. Of course, remember, every mistake you make, every poor production you put out, is also never going away either. And somehow, all of these things put together, the good, the bad, and the ugly, is going to create a three-dimensional portrait for our descendants to, you know, piece together when they're trying to understand the times we live in now. And every time I think about that, all I think about is, why didn't Alexander the Great have a podcast, and why can't I hear it? Welcome to the website, ladies and gentlemen. Tool around, have a good time, tell some friends about the show. We're only here because of you, and we appreciate your help. Thanks.